You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome to the midweek edition of the Punt Podcast from William Hill. Big week of European football, of course, with the semi-final second legs in the UEFA Champions League and the UEFA Europa League. And on top of that, we've got Premier League action midweek as well on Wednesday evening. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Dave Kellner. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well. I'm very well indeed, sir. I think we've got a couple of potential dead rubbers in the Champions League, but some good bets to be found, and I'm still looking forward to it because you get to see the best players in the world perform midweek, which is always fun. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Mr. Walton.
Good. While since I've done this with you, actually, Dave.
Yeah.
Where have you been all my life?
I think last time we did it, I tipped maybe one winner and that was across about 15 different bets, so hopefully we'll have a little bit more success on this occasion. I'm sure we will, Mark.
Okay, yeah, hopefully so. That's why we're here. Should we get straight stuck into him?
Yeah, let's do it.
Juventus against Monaco to start with then. Juve 8-13 in the market. The draw 14-5. Monaco are 9-2. And Juventus hold a pretty commanding looking 2-0 aggregate lead. They obviously scored two away goals in that situation. Didn't concede either. It's going to be tough for Monaco, isn't it?
Oh, very difficult, very difficult. Juventus are incredible at home. You look back through the recent history of Juventus performing at the Juventus Stadium. The last time they were beaten in 90 minutes was back in August 2015 at home. Udinese beat them 1-0 on that occasion. That was the last time they lost at home. And no team has ever overturned a 2-0 first leg home deficit in Champions League history, even in the knockout stages. That's in 14 attempts. So those are a couple of stats that make you think Monaco, they're not quite big enough at 9-2 to back them to win outright here in the 90-minute market. And no French team's ever beaten Juventus away from home either. Monaco have been there twice and they lost on both occasions. 4-1 back in 97-98 and 1-0 in the quarterfinals in 2014-2015. So, and Monaco have had a couple of occasions where they've gone there and thought, maybe we can get a result, and Juventus have brushed them aside. And I think people coming into this game and looking at the prices will talk about necessity. Do Juventus need to win this game? We know they don't. Mm. They can go through if they're beaten 1-0 or if they draw the match. So 8-13 might look a little bit too skinny. But look, when I watched that first leg, they did a number on Monaco. Monaco attacked in the early stages, but they weathered the storm. And what they did so brilliantly, Juventus, was hit Monaco on the counter-attack. And that first goal was absolutely sensational, Gonzalo Higuain's goal. I don't know if you saw it, Mark, but the ball was played down the right-hand side. Paulo Dybala, with a wonderful flick.
Yeah.
Dani Alves shooting down that right hand side, back heel into Higuain, who dispatched the ball perfectly. And Higuain's been in great form both in Europe and domestically this season. He scored the other goal as well. I just thought it was a clinical performance from Juventus on that occasion. And I don't think 8-13, I think it underestimates their chance here, 8-13. I think the 8-13 is a fair price on Juventus despite them not needing to win this game.
Yeah. Yeah, and throw into the mix that Juventus haven't conceded a single goal at home in the Champions League this season. Mm. And they have got goals in them. I think they do still win this match. I don't think they want to take a chance either. I think they'll try and get an early goal just to kill it absolutely. And I don't see Monaco getting back into it myself.
And you look at that result at the weekend against Torino. They drew 1-1 with Torino, but Massimiliano Allegri made plenty of changes, lots of changes in that game. Players that didn't start against Torino but did in the first leg against Monaco: Buffon, Chiellini, Pjanic, Marchisio, Higuain, Sandro, Bazzagli, Dani Alves, all missing at the weekend, yeah, all coming back fresh for this game on Tuesday night. He went with a back four as well. I'm sure he'll revert to that back three for this match. And adding to this, that Juventus are unbeaten in their last 18 Champions League home games. They've won 11 of those, drawn the other seven. That's the longest run without defeat in the competition at home, which is another stat that you've got in your favour if you're backing Juventus in this game. And you mentioned their performances in terms of not conceding, how stout they've been defensively recently. I think even though Monaco had six shots on target in that first leg and Buffon was outstanding, I can see Juventus winning this. I do quite like Juventus to win and both teams to score. I can see Monaco getting on the score sheet here. They've got some terrific attacking talent. Kylian Mbappe is the one that stands out. Obviously, he's 12-5 to score any time. He actually, that was the first time he's failed to score, having started a game in the Champions League, that first leg.
Yeah.
I think he could score in a Juventus win. That's a bet that I would be looking at here. So the anytime win cast, or the anytime lose cast, if you like. So have a look at Kylian Mbappe to score a goal in Juventus to win the game. And that is, as the wheel turns, 15-2. I quite like that. Yeah. Mbappe to score anytime and Juventus to win at 15-2. But my favourite bet, Juventus to win and both teams to score in the match, which is slightly swimming against the tide, because I think many will anticipate Juventus being very good defensively and maybe edging this game 1-0, 2-0. I see Monaco coming out and attacking and scoring in the game. Given they had six shots on target and Buffon was superb in the first leg, I think one of those goes in on this occasion. Juventus to win and both teams to score at 12-5.
Okay. I quite like a little bit more of a simple way in, an yep. actual win cast rather than a lose cast. Juventus to win with Higuain to score any time, 13-10. I think that's a perfectly good price.
Yeah, I do as well.
And I like Gonzalo Higuain because he gives people like me hope, Dave, because he's not an athlete. He looks like he's just had a double cheeseburger before he started playing, and he still plays very well and scores goals.
I agree. He's a joy to watch, isn't he, Higuain? Because it's often been said that he's just below top class.
Yeah.
And he does have that. He's a little bit burly, isn't he? And you can imagine him not quite putting it in on the training pitch, not being, like, if a nutritionist came up to him and said, this is what you got to eat, he'd be like, no chance.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I'm eating whatever I like and I'm still going to go out and score 20 plus goals a season. So, and he's been incredible for Juventus this season. So yeah, I can see Higuain scoring and Juventus winning the game as well.
It fit in really well at Leicester. Apparently part of the reason why the players fell out with Claudio Ranieri is because he stopped them having chicken nuggets after the game.
Yeah,
he'd love it there, wouldn't he? Have some chicken nuggets afterwards.
I think a lot of the whenever there's sort of kind of a separation in the back room between players and management, there's a bit of disruption there. It always comes down to food.
Yeah.
and lack of ketchup. No longer have ketchup. No sauce on your chicken anymore.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
Let's get rid of this guy.
Yeah, precisely. Precisely. So Juventus win the game, I think. I think 8-13 is fair. And I wouldn't put anyone off looking at Gonzalo Higuain. It'd be interesting to see who comes in for Kylian Mbappe in the summer as well, because he's looked a superstar this season.
Yeah, very talented young man. You mentioned earlier on, by the way, as well, just want to go back to the point you made about Juve beating Monaco in the semi-finals in 98.
Mm.
They went on to play Real Madrid in the final and lost.
Oh, did they? That's interesting.
Interesting omen.
That might happen this season.
Yeah. So that's the first of the Champions League semi-final second legs. Moving on to the second of them, which is on Wednesday evening, of course, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. A Madrid derby, Atletico Madrid against Real Madrid, 17-10 for Atleti. The draw is 5-2, and Real Madrid are 6-4, 3-0 to Real Madrid on aggregate, courtesy of that man, Cristiano Ronaldo, who just seems to keep producing these bewildering goal-scoring stats. I know Atleti are very good at home, DK. But the tie's already done, isn't it?
It is, and he gets better and better, doesn't he? Seemingly. Maybe playing in a different style than he used to. Mm. He used to be that marauding winger who would pick the ball up and run directly towards goal and commit defenders. Now he's playing as that standard archetypal number nine and just scoring goals at will. Cristiano Ronaldo, a couple of stats here just to elaborate on what you've mentioned about his bewildering performances recently. He's scored 103 goals in the Champions League now. That's three more than Atletico Madrid have in the history of the competition, which is a nice stat.
Yeah.
And he's got 52 in 66 games in the knockout stages, scoring at a better rate than he has done in the group stages. So he's done it at the business end of the tournament, Cristiano Ronaldo. He's got 8 of Real Madrid's last 9 goals in the competition as well. The other one has come from Marco Asensio, who I thought was terrific in the game against Barcelona recently. I thought he played really well in that game and looked a star of the future. And he's got 10 goals, or he's reached the 10-goal mark in the competition for the sixth consecutive Champions League campaign as well, Ronaldo. No other player has done it on more than two occasions. That includes Lionel Messi. The other one, Ruud van Nistelrooy. So he is, every time Real Madrid play, didn't play at the weekend, was rested for that win at Granada. Every time Real Madrid are on the console or in play, or if you're betting pre-match, you've got to look at him to score a goal, Mark.
Yeah, and it's even money.
Which seems okay to me.
Yeah.
It seems fair. I think that, given that stat of him getting 52 in 66 knockout games, even money seems more than fair. And you could look at two or more at 9-2 as well, because I think he'll be dangerous when they counter-attack quickly, because Atletico Madrid have got to take this game to Real Madrid if they have any hopes of qualifying for the final, which they won't do. They are 3-0 behind. And I thought in the first leg, they played... It's almost like they go into the game against Real Madrid and they're so hyped up in that opening 20 minutes, they can't perform. The sort of... They analyse the game so intently going into a match against Real Madrid. This is what we've got to do. This is how we're going to do it. We need to get everything tactically spot on. They occasionally become paralysed, and I think that's what happened in the opening 20 minutes of the match. They couldn't get Antoine Griezmann into the right positions. He didn't have a shot in that first game, Griezmann, and didn't have a single touch inside Real Madrid's box either. They couldn't territorially get into position to hurt Real Madrid, and Ronaldo was obviously clinical, and that was the difference between the two sides. And looking at Real Madrid's scoring record as well, if you're thinking they don't need to score in this match, which they don't, but I think they still will. They've got at least two goals in each of their 11 Champions League games this season. That first leg, incidentally, the only time this campaign that they've kept a clean sheet as well, Real Madrid. So you can see Atletico Madrid, even though they are the lowest scoring team in the season's Champions League, the last four teams in it, they're the lowest scoring. I can still, they've only got 13 in 11 games, which when you're looking to overturn a 3-goal deficit, you need to see more, don't you? I think this might be quite entertaining. I can see both teams scoring in the game, but I think Real Madrid will end up winning it, in all honesty, at 6-4.
Okay. Both score, no draw could also be a player there. Then that's 11-8 in the market. You don't have to name which side wins it, just as long as one of them does, and both teams get on the score sheet, that would land. I want to mention a player here as well, Dave, that I'm not even certain will start. But if he does, James Rodriguez at 14-5. He scored a couple of goals at the weekend. He came off the bench to score against Barcelona in the Clásico as well. He hasn't really got a good run in the team, but recently when he's been playing, he has actually been scoring goals, and he's kind of got a point to prove. And I just wonder, would you sometimes put a hungry player in like that? And if he does play 14-5, I think he's a decent anytime goal scorer price. Granted, check the team news first.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing, because I would be surprised if he started, in all honesty. There's been a lot of talk about his future at Real Madrid. Many suggesting that his likeliest next destination will be Manchester United in the summer for around about £60 million. So we'll have to wait to see if that materialises. I think he's a very, very good player, James Rodriguez, but I'm not sure he would be... I always like pace in the Premier League, and he lacks a little bit of pace, James Rodriguez. The way they set up in the first leg, they played Isco in behind Benzema and Cristiano Ronaldo, and James Rodriguez played in that win at Granada when they won 4-0 at the weekend. I think he scored a couple of goals in that game.
Yeah.
So you would think that he would be not rested for this game, but he would miss out with the big guns coming back. And you look back to that game against Granada, and only Sergio Ramos and Casemiro started that game at the weekend and started the first leg against Atletico Madrid in that opening game as well. So it will be interesting to see if he does give, if Zinedine Zidane gives James Rodriguez a run out here. And if he does, that 14-5 could look big. And I don't know whether he'll play. I think he will play a completely full-strength side, but it's a very interesting title race in La Liga now as well, because Real Madrid and Barcelona are locked together on 84 points. Real Madrid have a game in hand, but they've got a more difficult running as well. They've got a couple of tough away games. One away at Celta Vigo. A lot will depend on how Celta Vigo perform on Thursday night. they've been out of form recently. And away at Malaga, Malaga have been in really good form. They've won four straight in the league. Real Madrid will have to win their remaining three games or pick up 7 points from their remaining three games to win the title, because Barcelona have a couple of easy games to finish their season. So Zinedine Zidane, with them coming into this second leg with such a commanding, in such a commanding position,
yeah,
will maybe think we've got to keep these players fresh for La Liga as well. So team news, very important. That's what you'll base your goal scorer bets on. But I see Real Madrid winning the game and both teams scoring in the match, and that is 17-5.
Moving on to the Europa League semi-finals next, we'll start with Lyon against Ajax. Lyon 4-6, the draw 16-5. Ajax are 7-2 in the market, and Ajax already with one foot in the final, you'd say. 4-1 lead on aggregate. Lyon are going to have to come out and win this. I'm not sure they do, though. I think Ajax looked a very good... Well, it was a bizarre game, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because the defending from Lyon was terrible. It was end-to-end stuff as well. It could be an entertaining game, if nothing else.
I think it's going to be a cracker. You look at the goals expectation, the compilers are all over it, in all honesty. Over 2.5 goals in the game is 4-11.
Really?
Over 3.5 goals is available at 11-10. And that's because these two teams play with such gay abandon, really, Mr. Walton. They're both attacking sides. They both focus on going forward rather than defending. You can see that with Ajax's recent results. And you can see it with Lyon's results at home in the Europa League as well. Their form in the Europa League is astonishing, really. They came through... You look at their last three home games in this competition. They've beaten AZ Alkmaar, another team from the Netherlands, 7-1. They beat Roma 4-2. They beat Besiktas 2-1. In their last 11 home games in all competitions, only once have both teams not scored. Last seven home games in the Europa League, both teams have scored. So we know how Lyon are going to set up. And Ajax away from home aren't the force they are at home either, especially in the Europa League. They failed to win in their last four non-group stage matches, so knockout matches on the road in the Europa League. They've only lost by the odd goal in those four appearances, but they have lost. And they've not won in any of their last five matches in Europe away in France either. But they've never lost by a margin of over two goals. I just think this is going to be a goal fest. I see over three... I'm in a quandary here to a certain extent, because over 3.5 is the way I think it's going to go, but it's 11-10.
Mm.
And instinctively, I think maybe that's a little bit too short. So I do think Lyon win the game. I think Lyon will win this match. And I think Lyon to win and both teams to score is the way I'm going to go, because of that stat of them winning with both teams scoring their last three home Europa League matches. So 7-4 is the way I'm going here.
Okay. Even money for Lyon to win it over 2.5 goals. That obviously would take into account if Ajax didn't get on the score sheet, but I think I prefer your way in there at 7-4.
Just a very quick word on that first leg as well.
Yeah.
They had 16 shots on target, Ajax, when they met in the first leg. That's four more than any other side has managed in a Europa League game this season, which is incredible, really. So they will get their chances. And if you're looking for a goal scorer, for Ajax in this game, Bertrand Traore looks a nice price at 9-4 to score any time. He's been involved in four goals in his last four Europa League appearances, scoring three times, and three of those, he had two goals and one assist in the first leg against Lyon. So Bertrand Traore, 9-4 to score any time, looks a decent bet to me as well.
Hmm. Interesting stuff. I was just thinking of how these teams would approach it, given their respective league campaigns as well. Ajax sit second in the Eredivisie behind Feyenoord, and to be fair, the tie should be done for them. So do they have perhaps one eye on the league campaign rather than concentrating on this? Lyon would need to go on to win this, similar to Manchester United, to guarantee themselves a Champions League spot next season, but you fear that they may have already come undone in that respect. So does that play a factor in it?
I suppose I think if Ajax do ease off here, they'll be wary of allowing Lyon back into the tie, because Lyon are so free scoring at home. That would be my concern. If there's any thoughts of playing a weakened side to concentrate on their position in Eredivisie, it would be remiss, I think. I reckon they should play their strongest side here because Lyon can rack up a lot of goals at home. And, yeah, I think Ajax will play a strong side. I wouldn't entirely rule out Lyon getting back into this tie. As strange as it sounds, even though they lost the first leg 4-1, they can score plenty at home. I don't think they'll go through, but it wouldn't surprise me if they trade a little bit shorter to qualify for the final in running. But yeah, I'm going. My main bet here is Lyon to win and both teams to score, which is 7-4. I'll play that.
On to the second of the semi-finals in the Europa League then. 8:05 kick-off on Thursday as well for Manchester United against Celta Vigo. 4-7 for United. The draw 3-1. Celta Vigo 5-1. Man United won the first tie in this 1-0. I think Jose Mourinho's put all his eggs in the Europa League basket now. Can you see them slipping up here now? They've kind of done the hard work against Celta Vigo.
No, I think they'll win. It's weird, isn't it? Because after that game against Arsenal, I think if you set up the way he set up against Arsenal at the weekend, he basically had a back six at times with Juan Mata on one side and Henrik Mkhitaryan on the other. Very negative, dropping so deep. If it works when you play like that at Stamford Bridge or at the Etihad, you look like a tactical genius. But when you lose 2-0 against an Arsenal team that have stumbled and are lacking in confidence, it's embarrassing and you look a bit stupid. And even when you try and talk about it afterwards and make jokes about Arsenal afterwards, like Jose Mourinho did, we're hearing the same thing all the time from Jose Mourinho about not being able to cope with the fixture list, not having a strong enough squad, having to make changes. And he did make changes for that game on Sunday. They were soundly beaten 2-0 by an Arsenal side that haven't looked invincible by any stretch of the imagination recently. And you look who played up front, or that front three, Martial, Mata, Mkhitaryan was that front three. £36 million they paid for Anthony Martial. That fee could rise to £57 million during his time at Manchester United. They paid £37 million for Juan Mata when they picked him up from Chelsea. £27 million for Henrik Mkhitaryan, who was supposedly a star from Borussia Dortmund. They had Ander Herrera in midfield, Phil Jones and Chris Smalling as centre-halves, who maybe 18 months ago were seen as future England starting centre-halves in due course. They had David De Gea in net, who's one of the world's best, if not the best goalkeeper in the world. And to set up so negatively, defensively, and then to make excuses afterwards is not the Manchester United way. It's not been historically. And I think the fans will be bemused by that and annoyed by that as well. And if he does slip up, or if his team slips up against Celta Vigo and they finish fifth or sixth in the Premier League, it will be a bitter disappointment this season. The good thing is they're going up against the Celta Vigo side, who looked abysmal in the first leg and have been poor domestically as well, Mark.
Yeah, the campaign's taken its toll on Celta Vigo, isn't it? They're 11th in La Liga. They've lost their last five in all competitions, six without a win in all competitions as well. I think it's just caught up with them that they don't have the squad to deal with a semi-final of European competition alongside a league campaign, and that, I think that's shown recently.
Yeah, and I agree. And I'd be amazed if they turned up at Old Trafford and put a performance in.
They will not get anything from...
I think Manchester United are a good bet. I think they're a decent price as well, which I'm hesitant to say that because, as Derek's mentioned, the Theatre of Dreams has turned into the Theatre of Draws this season.
Yeah.
So 4-7, maybe not giving anything away, but I actually expect an emphatic performance from Manchester United on Thursday night, and I think they will win by more than one. We've got an early enhanced odds offer up here. Marcus Rashford to score first or last was 7-4. That's been enhanced to 5-2. He's scored in back-to-back Europa League appearances now. Got that a wonderful goal in the first leg and got the winner against Anderlecht as well. Admittedly, that was in extra time, so wouldn't have counted for the purposes of this bet. But I think that he will score in this game. The great thing about Marcus Rashford is his self-belief. I think that's his primary asset, really. To take that free kick when there's such superstars on the pitch and you're a 19-year-old lad from the Manchester area, to have the cojones to grab that ball late on in the match when Paul Pogba's on there and take a free kick in such a pivotal moment, I think shows his strength of mind. And the other thing I like about him as well is he gets face on with defenders so quickly. Every time he gets the ball with his back to goal, he makes that movement to look the defender in the eye very, very quickly. And he's got that burst of electric pace. He'll come back into the team. I don't mind that enhanced odds offer for him to score first or last, enhanced from 7-4 to 5-2. And I think we will see the best of Paul Pogba in this match as well. I thought he was outstanding in the first leg, really commanding performance, ran things in midfield. And I know he's been a little bit of a disappointment this season, and that goes back to how much Manchester United paid for him.
Yeah.
I think everyone, the expectation rises with that fee. And he's not had a brilliant season, but he was brilliant in that first leg. And 12-5 for him to score any time. They'll play Ander Herrera and Marouane Fellaini in this match alongside Paul Pogba. I'm hoping Pogba's going to be released. He's got this tendency, Mourinho, to play Fellaini in that more forward role and sit Pogba with Herrera. I'm hoping Pogba's going to get forward more. He could be on spot kicks as well. Not 100% sure who will take the penalties if they get one. But 12-5, Paul Pogba to score any time. See him having a big game in this. And I reckon Manchester United minus one at 29-20 is a good bet, because Lyon and Ajax are very vulnerable defensively, and you'd expect Mourinho to set up his side tactically to be able to negate their strengths coming forward. So this is a competition they should be winning, Manchester United, and I think they'll beat Celta Vigo easily on Thursday night.
Marcus Rashford, by the way, 19 years old, wears the number 19 shirt. Got his 19th goal of the season in that first leg. Illuminati confirmed.
Very good. Very
Something
good.
Along those lines. He'll have to change his age and his squad number to score this week.
he's looked brilliant, hasn't he? I think when he came into the team, if you weren't a Manchester United fan, there was the kind of wanted to knock him a little bit and say, maybe not all that, but I think he's the real deal.
He's very talented. Yeah. Yeah. Even the staunchest of Manchester United haters would have to admit that, I think. Let's finish off with a bit of Premier League action. Yep. Southampton against Arsenal on Wednesday evening, a 7:45 p.m. kickoff at St Mary's. Southampton 11-4, the draw 5-2, and Arsenal are even money. Bit of pressure around Claude Puel, bizarrely, given that he's had a pretty solid season for Southampton. They're doing well enough in the league. It looks like they're going to finish in the top half. They got a League Cup semi-final as well. Arsenal, no doubt that Arsene Wenger's under pressure continually, and will be until he probably retires. But they have closed the gap on Manchester United. They can close the gap further on Manchester City. This is a good opportunity for Arsenal to turn up the pressure, isn't it, on those above them?
It is. I think they're going to miss out on that top four spot. And you talked about Claude Puel being under pressure. I think that's because Southampton, prior to the weekend, even if they'd won their last five matches, were going to fall under the tally of points they've accrued in the last 2 years. So I think that's why he's under a little bit of pressure. But I was speaking to Ian Ladyman about this at the weekend, about Claude Puel. We were talking about Southampton and their selling policy, how they've got a turnover of players each and every year, and whether that was finally catching up with them. I thought it was, and he didn't think it was really, that turnover of players. But that's my theory is, when you sell and sell and sell, you've got to have an incredible recruiting team to bring in stars once again and regenerate the squad. And I think it's finally caught up with them to a certain extent. They're still in a good position, 10th in the table. It's okay for Southampton. It's not been a disappointing season. They've been a little bit misfiring recently. I mean, they've not scored in their last two games, and in their last couple of home games, they've not scored either. Beaten 3-0 by Manchester City, that draw with Hull City at home as well. But they were okay at the weekend. Fraser Forster saved a penalty against Liverpool, and they drew that game at Anfield 0-0 as well. And they've got a good record against Arsenal at St Mary's. Arsenal have been there. The last five times Arsenal have been there, they failed to win. The last win they had there was back in December 2003. And Arsene Wenger, he's only won two of his eight Premier League games at St Mary's as well, so he's struggled. And Arsenal, you look at Arsenal as well, even though their form, they were hammered at White Hart Lane, in all honesty, beaten 2-0, and they didn't have to perform with any great fluency to beat Manchester United at the weekend. They've lost five of their last six away games in the Premier League, Arsenal. So would I want to be backing them at this sort of price? I don't think so. I think they're much too short in the betting here, in my opinion, Arsenal, even money.
All right. So what do you play?
I'd play the draw in the game. It wouldn't surprise me at all if it's a 0-0 draw, and they have three successive 0-0 draws on the spin, Southampton here. I just think that the 0-0 draw is 12-1, which I think is a pretty good price. They've only had 10 shots on target in their last five Premier League games, Southampton, so I wouldn't be backing them to score. And Manolo Gabbiadini came in and performed brilliantly early on. He got four goals in his first three Premier League appearances, but since then he's failed to score, and he's only had one shot on target in his last 300 and odd minutes in the Premier League, last five appearances. So I don't think Southampton necessarily score in this game, but I don't think they might. I don't think they need to get a draw. So I'm going with the 0-0 draw in the game at 12-1. And I couldn't be having Arsenal away from home, given their form away in the Premier League recently. So if you wanted an outright selection, Southampton plus one at 4-6 would be my play. What do you think?
I still think Arsenal win.
Do you? Do you think they make a step towards that top four? They're not going to get in the top four now, though, are
they? They're not going to, but Manchester United and Jose Mourinho have kind of written that off, so they can catch them. Don't forget, this is their game in hand over Manchester City. So if they win this, they close the gap to just 3 points. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible. It's unlikely, of course, but it's not impossible.
Yeah.
And Southampton haven't got anything to play for anymore.
No, I thought that. I thought that going into the weekend. I thought Liverpool would beat Southampton. I was very disappointed with Liverpool. I thought it was a really poor performance from them.
Yeah.
But yeah, Arsenal even money away from home a well-drilled side like Southampton, not my idea of any value.
Okay. You got the obvious silly bets here as well, haven't you? Theo Walcott returning to St Mary's. Scored a hat-trick last time he went there when Arsenal won 5-0 in the FA Cup. Mm. He's 2-1 to score any time.
Yep.
Oxlade-Chamberlain. I know we disagree about his potential and future. He's 19-5 to score any time.
He played well at the weekend, didn't he?
He's played well for the last month or so.
He provided the cross for Danny Welbeck's header. He did a decent job. Aaron Ramsey played well at the weekend as well, so he could be another one if you're looking for an anytime goal scorer at 14-5. He got into some dangerous positions, and I think if Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil had been in better form, they might have found him a couple of times. So those are three that you could be looking at for goal scorer options, but I'm looking at a lack of goals in this game. I'm definitely playing the under 2.5. I think it's a massive price at 11-10, under 2.5 goals in the game. I think that's a great bet. And I'm looking at the 0-0 draw at 12-1 in the match as well.
All right, could be a bit of a snooze fest that then, if you're correct there, David. Been a pleasure. Do you have a favourite bet of all that?
I think Paul Pogba's going to score at 12-5 any time. And I do like Juventus and both teams to score at 12-5 as well. So a couple of bets at 12-5 there that I quite like the look of.
All right. Good. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed it. It's been good. Enjoy this week's football and good luck with your 12-5 books.
Thank you, sir.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.